Well, today is Mother's Day, as we all know, and so I thought to begin my message tonight, I'm going to begin with a little quiz. And Clint, maybe you can help me but you need to participate too, Clint. This doesn't. For those that answer the questions, I have a candy bar for you. Okay, so just raise your hand, and we'll see if you're right. And Clint will be glad to give you one, okay? What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a child's name, and you're going to give me the mother's name, okay? Now, I have a few for the young kids, too, about three of them, but the rest, I think, will probably be from our adults who are into the Word of God, okay? The first one is going to be Reuben. The mother is, thank you, Loretta.
Leah,
good. Give her a candy bar, okay? Now, the next one is Dan and Naphtali. Dan and Naphtali. Thank you, Kathy. Is that what you said? Is Rachel? No. You're close, though. She took it as a child. She took them as a child. Oh. Nobody going to take that one? Can you finish that? How they became Rachel's children? Not really. The mother, okay. All right. Loretta?
It was Rachel's handmaiden
that she gave to you. Yeah, and the name is? No, that was the other handmaid, okay? It was Bilha, okay? And that was that one, okay? Now, Moses. Who's going to tell me who Moses' mother was? All right, my wife is going to give a stab at that. Jochebed, right, okay. Jochebed was the mother of Moses, okay. And we don't find that right in Exodus right away, but we find that in Numbers, that was her name, okay. Now, this one, Keziah. Who was the mother of Keziah? Okay, Loretta's coming through. Job's wife, right, okay. Yeah, okay, good. Job's wife, good. Give her another candy bar. Good for her, okay. Zimram. Who was the mother of Zimram? Nobody. Okay. All right. I will let you have a hint, okay? Oh, did you have your hand up, Clint? I'll give you the reference. Chapter 25, verses 1 and 2 of Genesis. Okay, Don. I can't hear you. Is that what Mr. Don said? Okay, that's who it is. Okay. What did you say, Sephora?
Keturah.
Keturah, right, I was going to say. Yes, okay. Now we're going to move on to Malon and Chilion. Oh, somebody else besides Loretta? Okay, Jim?
Naomi.
Naomi, good, okay. Now, this one is for one of the younger ones first, to give them a chance if they can. Samuel. Can you give me the mother of Samuel? All right, Kathy. I can't hear you. Hannah, right, okay. Now, the next one. Obed. Who was the mother of Obed? All right. Do any of the younger ones know that? All right. We'll take... yes, okay. Oh, my goodness. My mind just flipped me. Thank you, Joy. Ruth. Good. She was the mother. I thought maybe some of the younger ones might know that. Okay. Solomon. Who's going to give me the mother of Solomon? Jim. Bathsheba. Good. Now, this is for the young ones, okay? All right. Jesus. Who was the mother? Okay. Thank you.
Mary.
Good. Now, that's my quiz for tonight. I don't think too many did well on that quiz. But we need to get to know our mothers. They play an important part. Thank you. That was mine, the one that Kathy didn't have quite right. Okay, good. All right. We're going to turn tonight in our Bibles to 1 Samuel. And I thought maybe since I had to wind up speaking because our speaker didn't come, I tried to put a little something together from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And, of course, the mother is Hannah. And I've always thought a lot of this name because that was my mother's name. Not her first name, but her middle name was Hannah. And so if we were to say it in our language, I understand it would mean grace. But her name in the Word of God in the King James is Hannah. So we're going to read in chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zup, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten to Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forsake thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count now thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man, Elkanah, and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now I'm going to read a few verses on the other two, but I want to make some comments, first of all, about what we read. Since I got one more candy bar here, from what tribe was Elkanah from? We just read it. What tribe? No, of the tribe. Well, we'll get that later. I'll ask another question. He was a Levite. So he would have come from Levi. He was from the tribe of Levi, and that was the city, not the tribe of Ephraim there. Okay. Now, we find that Elkanah went up with his own sacrifice yearly. We find that every year he went up, and at that time, the two sons of Eli, they were there. And I suppose most of you know the story about the two sons of Eli. They were wicked sons. They did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Not only do we find that they took the women and debauched them, but we also find that what they did is they went and took that which belonged to the Lord. And they put their hooks into the meat offering that was being offered at the peace offering, and they would have gotten a portion but they were greedy and sinful, and they took more than what belonged to them. But even though he knew all about that, we find that Elkanah took his family and they went up to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, as we read also, there was trouble in the household. And the reason was there were two wives. I've never understood why a man would want to have more than one wife. And when I think of David with all the wives that he had, it blows my mind. I mean, because of the fact, why support them when you have over 1,000 wives, and you certainly couldn't even treat them as a wife even once a year to make the rounds. But there he had all those wives, and wherever there was more than one wife, why, there was trouble, although it wasn't looked upon back in those days as it was in the New Testament. And so we find that he did not learn anything from Abraham, who had trouble when he had two wives, did not learn anything from Jacob when he had two wives. No, and we find that there was trouble, and there we find as he was going up, what he did is he offered peace offerings and prayed for peace in the family, I'm sure. And Elkanah gave gifts, or gave to all. Now, he gave to the second wife. He gave her and her children. He gave each one of them a portion of the meat of the peace offering that was given. But it says in verse 5 that Hannah got a worthy portion. Yes, but we find that in verse 7 that Hannah did not eat. She couldn't eat, and she did not rejoice. Oh, how sad. The friction was so great. She did not eat, and she did not rejoice. And then Elkanah tried to comfort her, and he tried to comfort her, and he said to her, look at what is for you, not just at what is against you. Oh, my friends, that needs to be the whole thing with us. We need to look what is for us. It was a gentle reproof, as he told her, am I not better than even 10 sons to you? And the result was it brought her to eat. And we do find that she ate, as it says in verse 7, therefore she wept and did not eat. And then, then when we find her husband spoke to her, and why is thy heart, verse 8, why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And then it tells us here that Eli, the priest, sat by a seat, by a post of the temple of the Lord. Now, actually, it was not any temple that we know of. What it was is the tabernacle that was in a tent. But it was referred to in these days and afterwards as a temple, because the tabernacle was now fixed. It was there. That was the place for the tabernacle. It wasn't moving round about. So we find there he was sitting by a post. And it was a gentle reproof that her husband gave to her. And as I say, it brought her to eat. But it also brought her to prayer. What a great thing that after he had spoken to her, that she ate and drank, and she did not harden herself to sorrow, but she went to prayer. Now, being in bitterness of soul, she prayed. And as I thought about that phrase that we read, okay, this is my candy bar time again. Who do you think of who prayed and was in great agony and bitterness? of our great agony, I should say, really, and prayed most earnestly, not in bitterness, but Clint. Yes, that's a good one. Good for you. Here you are. Okay. The Lord Jesus. You'll remember in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44 that he prayed most earnestly. And he was in agony as he prayed. And we find, too, that in the case with Hannah, her prayer was not a dry prayer. She wept. She wept sore. Yes, the Bible says she wept sore in prayer. And it was a prayer that was very particular because she begged a man-child to be fit. This man-child, she wanted to be fit to serve in the tabernacle. And as she prayed, she made a vow that she would give him to the Lord. And not only did she make a vow, she spoke in this vow, as she spoke it, very softly, and her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. She trusted God's knowledge of the heart. Oh, listen, I want to say that is a tremendous thing. Look with me at Psalms 139. Keep your finger in here. Psalms 139. And we have this here psalm that's a tremendous psalm. And the first part of that psalm is God knows me. Oh, she didn't have to speak out loud. God knows our thoughts. Look at verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Yes, God knows all of our thoughts. Verse 2, thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. God knows all about me. It's a tremendous psalm when you stop to think that God knows me and he knows you. We cannot hide from God. And so we find that she trusted God's knowledge of the heart. She didn't have to speak out loud. God knows all about us, what our thoughts are, even before we utter them. Now, she went with a broken heart. And as I think of going with a broken heart, I also think of that verse in Psalms 51. We can just look at that for a minute. Psalms 51, where it says these words. In verse 15, we'll start. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So we find that she went with a broken heart, and she did not chide God, no, but she held out her cup, as it were, and was trusting that the Lord might fill it. It was a heart prayer. She spoke in the heart. Oh, listen, that our prayers might be heart prayers. It was based on a new name of God. No more candy bars. I ran out. But what was the new name of God that we read when she prayed? What was God's name? The first time it's mentioned in the Word of God. First time it's mentioned. What is it? The Lord of Hosts. And from then on, it appears many times in the Word of God, but this is the first time that it appears. The Lord of Hosts. And she knew that he was in control of all things, of the heavens, everything round about. And it was based on a new name, and she wanted the child for the kingdom and the glory of God. And he would be a what when she said, I'll not put a razor to his head. What would he be? Thank you, Paula. I can't hear you. A Nazarene, right. He would be a Nazarene from his birth. No razor on his head. It was a definite prayer. She wanted a man child. For this child, I prayed. It was a prayer without reserve. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And she continued in prayer as she sat there in verse 12, it says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Yes, a prayer that got response. Now, it's most interesting, too, that when she replies to Eli, as he asked her why she was still drunk, it's most interesting that in the portion that we read, five times over, she calls herself a handmaid. And when asked about being drunk, same as the apostles were asked, remember? When they were praying to the Lord and speaking over in Acts chapter 2, we might just take a look at that for a minute. Acts chapter 2, they got that response like she did. Acts chapter 2, and I'll read a few verses there. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now let's turn to verse 13. And it says this, others mocked, said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. They thought they were drunk with wine, just like Hannah was accused as well. But she did not speak of her trouble with the other wife. No, she didn't speak about that when she answered him. But her response would have showed that she was not drunk. By just the way she answered him, it would show him that she was not drunk. Because it says in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 1, and Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And so we find that she continues by saying, count me not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And because of the way she answered Eli knew she wasn't drunk. And he encouraged her by saying, go in peace. And, oh, not only did he say, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she left. She took what he said. And it was great because the fact she was satisfied in what she had heard in her mind, and went in peace and did eat of what was remained of the peace offering. And her countenance, now this is a great thing to notice, and her countenance was no more sad. She had prayed for herself, Eli prayed for her, and she believed, and she left it in God's hands. Yes, she was satisfied. Now, as we know from the portion that we read, that she became pregnant, and the Lord heard her and gave her that son that she asked for. He was asked of God, and the Lord heard her, so she called his name Samuel. I want to read another verse over in Psalms 116. Psalms 116, where it says this, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Yes, she loved the Lord. She was so grateful for that. And then it says here in verse 24 that, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks. Now, you'll remember in the first part of the story that she stayed at home while her husband and the rest went up. And Elkanah said, you do what you think is right. He didn't question the fact that she stayed home until she had him weaned. Now, it's said by many that in the Middle East over there at that time, they would wean a child until they were 3 years of age. I'm sure that the women are glad they don't do that today. But nevertheless, that's what they did as a practice. And it's interesting to notice also in verse 24 that it says that she took the child with three bullocks. It could be, and I'm not saying that it is, but it could be suggestive of the fact that the child had now reached 3 years of age for the three bullocks. Now, it could be, however, it could be that the three bullocks were, one was for a peace offering, and one could have been for a sin offering, and one could have been for, first of all, a burnt offering. I don't know. But nevertheless, she took the three bullocks. But it's also interesting to notice that if we read 2 Chronicles chapter 31, that's an interesting verse there, 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 16, where it says this, besides their genealogy of males from 3 years old in upward, even unto everyone that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service in their charges according to their courses. And so evidently, when the child reached 3 years of age, when they were born in the priesthood, we find that at 3 years of age, they came into the house of the Lord. And so there again, it's been suggested, although you cannot be dogmatic on it, that it was at 3 years of age. Some people think that the child was 7 or 8, but we have no proof for either one. But it's suggested there. But here, notice also in verse 28, therefore also I have lent him, she says, to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he, if he's just 3 years of age, or 7 or 8, or whatever he is, it says, and he worshipped the Lord there. What a tremendous thing to see, that the child, yes, worshipped the Lord, or what he did is he gave his prayers. How that reminds me of Matthew chapter 21. I'll read that verse for us, Matthew chapter 21, and most interesting, when we see verse 15 and 16. And it says these words, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased and said unto him, 'Hearest thou what these say?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?'" What a great thing. Yes. Just a young child offering the prayers, and at this time not even knowing the Lord in a personal way, but yet doing that. And again, I want to encourage the mothers and the fathers to have their children pray and know what it is to listen to your prayers as well as what they have to say. Well, Hannah, she made a prayer of thanksgiving with a spirit of prophecy as you read this prayer. And she could now be heard. It wasn't said silently. Let's just read a few verses here. And Hannah prayed, verse chapter 2, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord are broken in pieces. Out of the heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Just briefly, we'll look at this prayer a little bit, where we find that she triumphed in God, in his glorious perfection, and the great things he had done for her. Yes, she gloried in that. Now, take note of, she was not taken up with the gift, but with the giver. Isn't that great? She wasn't just taken up with the child. She was taken up with the giver. We read those words. How she was rejoicing in the Lord. "And there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." So in her prayer, she was taken up with the Lord. And she was mentions his unspotted purity. "There is none holy as the Lord." The next thing she's taken up is with his mighty power. "Neither is there any rock like my God." We can't help from thinking of verses where we can say, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Yes, the Lord was the one she was taken up with. And then his unsearchable wisdom. The unsearchable wisdom of the Lord. And again, the judge of all of us. He is the God of knowledge. She says that in those opening words. What kind of a God he is. And she's taken up with that in verse 3 of his knowledge. And then also she makes a comment there strongly about the fact by him actions are weighed. She also mentions his justice. Now she takes comfort in holy joy in verse 7. Because my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. And not so much in her son, but in her God. In holy triumph, my horn is exalted. Not only is my reputation saved by me having a son, but greatly raised by having such a son. Oh, my praises are very much elevated. My mouth is enlarged. That is, now I have wherewith to answer them that reproach me. Yes. Then she talks about his silence. Yes. And then she talks about the fact that the strong are weakened and the weak, yes, soon are strengthened when God pleases. Now, I like verses 6 and 7, too, where it says that the life there, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Yes, with him is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see life. Oh, what a great thing as we stop to think that with him is life. And in the book of Revelation also, that he is the life. And he is the one that is life, as we have in verse 18 of chapter 1. And Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. What a great thing to know that he gives life, but he's also the resurrection and the life. He lives. What a great thing. Now, I've got to hurry because my time is just about gone, but I want to mention verses 18 and 19 because, but Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. I'm going to end with this thought. But today, mothers are still making garments for their children. Not with looms, perhaps, or not with needle and thread, but mothers, how they're making these garments is by their character. What they do, yes. What the children see, they imitate. What they hear, the mothers are making garments by their words, by their conversations, by their habits, by their devotions. They put on clothes or of gentleness, or mothers could put on clothes of rudeness. Oh, it's amazing. Yes, what kind of clothes mothers put on. They might put on reverence and respect to spiritual things, or they could be very indifferent to spiritual things. Oh, mothers are making garments for the children. They might make garments of refinement or coarseness. Of manners. Or they might have the fruits of the Spirit. And when you think of the fruit of the Spirit that we should put on, yes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Is that what they see in you? Gentleness, goodness, long-suffering? Oh, listen, mothers are putting on those kind of garments or else they're weaving the very opposite. Oh, that we might be mothers for God. It's so important. And here we find, too, that Samuel, he had a mother of prayer. I want to say in testimony to my mother, I'm thankful that she was a mother that prayed for us kids, and we needed it. Let me tell you. Yes, I'm thankful that she prayed for her children, and I'm sure that the mothers here pray for their children, but we want to continue in prayer. It's not all over with. No, and my mother used to say, when they're young, it's small problems. When they get older, then she had the big problems. I didn't quite fully understand that at first, but I understand it now. Yes, but mothers continue to pray, and we need to pray for one another.